my AI version of myself is automatically willed to my daughters, and so that they can continue to pump out Dave Anderson-style books.
It's actually teaching the model how to get us better with follow-up, engaging them in further conversation and handling objections to improve our close rate.
So when we put that into the model first, it's going to give us better feedback than somebody that's starting with a blank slate. I love the fact that you can put your life experiences into it, and then it gives you the main pain points.
A weird, creepy kind of immortality, right?
That could
come from that.
If you do a really good prompt, like people that are teaching themselves and to do really good prompts, you might be able to protect that with intellectual property.
Yeah.
This is Real AI Use Cases Business Owners Roundtable with hosts Elizabeth Gearhart, podcast consultant, marketing expert, and PhD researcher using AI every day, and Richard Gearhart, entrepreneur, seasoned business owner, and intellectual property attorney specializing in innovation. Here's how real companies are using AI right now.
And I want each of our guests, and Richard and myself, to tell us one way they're using AI in their business, and then we're going to have a little discussion about AI. And
boy, are we going to have a discussion.
Yes. So I'm going to start with you, Dave Anderson, sure. TheBusinessBully.com. How are you using AI in your business? One way.
One way I'm using it is I'm training it to understand my voice. So all 23 of my books are uploaded. Transcripts of every single interview I've ever done has been uploaded for two reasons. First, I want that machine to know how I'm thinking and how that process evolves over time. And when I am writing my books, one of the things that has saved me tens of thousands of dollars is the fact that I will let AI edit my book, and then I'll just shoot it to my editor, pay her very, very small invoice just to make sure everything is lined up. I make that distinction when it comes to making sure that the AI understands my voice, because what a lot of entrepreneurs don't do is they don't plan for their death. Upon my death, six books will be released. After that, there will be books that I would have written, conceptualized the entire nine based on what I've already put into my AI avatar. And my intellectual property, my AI version of myself, is automatically willed to my daughters. They control that. And so that they can continue to pump out Dave Anderson style books, you know, for as long as they live and as long as their kids live.
Elizabeth and I talk about the legacy that you can leave in the world now. YouTube videos, podcasts, blog posts, whatever it is. At some point, AI would almost be able to recreate us, right, as people. And if my parents were here and they had the chance to put all of that content out there, I could be talking with them right now. I mean, you think about it, it's almost like a weird, creepy kind of immortality, right? That could come from that.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because I just read today that Matthew McConaughey gave his voice to AI, but then it was clickbait. But then if you go further in the article, he's having some of his work translated into Spanish, and his AI voice will read the Spanish version. So I thought that was pretty cool. Melissa Franks with melissafranks.com. What is one way you're using AI in your business?
We, similar to what Dave said, we are uploading all of our sales calls into AI and asking it to do pattern recognition. So what it's doing is it's finding hidden objections that are coming through in those conversations, and we're asking it, what did we not address fully? So when we follow up with the sales call, we already know, here's areas for you to continue to explore and exploit. And it also helps us build proposals of like kind. So it's actually teaching the model how to get us better with follow-up, engaging them in further conversation and handling objections to improve our close rate.
Wow.
How easy has it been to build that model? I mean, are you getting consistent results?
What's easy is uploading the information. What's challenging is asking it the right questions and prompts to deliver the information that's useful for you to take action. And so this is where the human element, the expertise and the brain comes in. If you have somebody doing what we're doing, for example, that doesn't have any sales skills, hasn't successfully sold millions of dollars worth of whatever widgets you're selling, and then tries to train the model, you're not going to have the same success as if you have somebody that's a seasoned sales professional going through that.
Yep.
So there are the jobs for the next few years at least, right?
Absolutely.
Trying to figure out these prompts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so Derek Johnson, fitwithderek.com. What's one way you're using AI?
One of the main ways is market research. So in terms of, as you all know, there's a lot of trainers and life coaches, and the way I wanted to stand out was focus on the mind first, then the body, and helping people overcome trauma. So when it comes to making content, I have a lot of ideas, wrote my first book, but getting it out there, knowing what people are researching, and it has helped way more than Google or just word of mouth, and just getting deeper into the points to say, okay, it's childhood trauma that started her on this bad dating cycle. With him, it was drinking. With her, it was this vice. And really peeling back the layers to do that market research, it just gave me a rush. So having a decade of training people and coaching them in the military and after the Army, and then using that information, loading it up into AI, and then it's spitting out to say, hey, based off your experiences, the results you've had, you should focus on this. And that way, backing off of what they said is, we all have life experience, so when we put that into the model first, it's going to give us better feedback than somebody that's starting with a blank slate day one. They're like, okay, how do I make my first 10K? That's awesome. But I love the fact that you can put your life experiences into it, and then it gives you the main pain points to find what are the main things and how can I repeat this at scale.
You know what? Whether you want it to get to know you or not, it does.
Probably know more about us than we knew.
Oh, yes.
I don't know ourselves,
but
right?
That is great. I love doing research with chat and the other ones.
I've just had an AI epiphany this week, it's just been a huge rush because I've suddenly decided that I'm going to use AI for as much as I can. And I want our law firm to be an AI augmented law firm. I was thinking about AI driven, but I thought maybe from a marketing standpoint, that would be too scary for some people, especially who are coming to us with expectations of confidentiality. But I really do think AI augmented. And so I'm using AI to try to figure out how to, you know, implement AI in the law firm. And one of the things that I found out that I didn't appreciate before is that different LLMs have different security levels. So for example, ChatGPT, security is not so great there. So we don't want to put any client information or client names into the ChatGPT because it could leak out there some way. But Microsoft Copilot, on the other hand, has really high security standards. And they call our business, Gearhart Law, a tenant. And by being a tenant that keeps all of the information within one secure place. So now we have ChatGPT for the outward-facing things, and then we have a Copilot that we can use for, you know, internal things. And so that was a big learning for me.
So one way I just started using it, as I said, this segment here, Richard and I are going to turn into its own podcast, and we're going to interview people other places too. We have a segment that's really good from another show that we did, and I want to use that as the first podcast, but I want to make sure that it does well on YouTube, right? And so I don't want to just throw it on YouTube. And so what I did was I asked ChatGPT, gave it the transcript, maximize this for YouTube, tell me how to edit this so that I can get the most listener time and watch time on YouTube, because that's what's super important on YouTube. Well, to Melissa's point, it came back with, oh, you know, cut here, cut all the ums and ahs, all this. And Dave, as a video editor, too, you know that if you start chopping everything out, you're going to get this mixed up mess, this mincemeat, right?
Yeah.
And so it really takes a human editor who's done this for a while. And we have a very good editor who she and I are going to sit down and go over these suggestions and pick the ones that we think will be the least disruptive, not make it look like a mishmash of junk. Right. Yeah. So I think we should just kind of discuss here, like, what do you like and what do you think could be improved or don't like?
Obviously, you have to be really careful about what you ask. The prompts, those are the instructions that you give ChatGPT. They have to be pretty clear. And so the more specific you are, the better the answer would be. So unfortunately, ChatGPT can't read my mind yet. It would be nicer if I didn't have to think so much about the prompts, but you really have to think about them.
It's such a horrible thing that people just think that because they have a tool that all of a sudden they're a craftsman. And it's like anything else. If I gave you Tiger Woods golf clubs, you're not coming home with that nice green jacket. If I gave you Michael Jordan's basketball, you're not going to win 6 rings. It comes down to how you use it. One of the main things that I see, to your point, when it comes to editing, like I have one of my YouTube channels has 675,000 subscribers. My other channel is really, really, it's mincemeat. It's tiny. It's horrible. I don't really do a lot with it. But the thing that I did do to help entrepreneurs was I created a company called Zenith Media Labs. And it's a bunch of human editors that use AI suggestions but have practical editing experience, and we create special effects and those types of things. Because when you look at the most successful content creators, they all have a style. Alex Hormozi has a style. Gary Vaynerchuk has a style. Mm-hmm. I have a style. And with that, it is quick. It makes sure that we're feeding that, you know, 2 second attention span and constantly mm-hmm. changing images and those types of things in order to make the message shine a little bit. Those are things that nobody talks about, that AI is becoming the thing where people are like, I'll just drop in an AI. I'll just put out some Opus clips and that'll be fine. No. Yeah.
I've seen some pretty bad Opus clips.
Oh my gosh.
We had one where the camera was showing on the back of the guy's head during the thing, and it just didn't work.
I do love that the more that you speak to it, it knows your language and dialogue. And bouncing off what you've mentioned with the prompts, the more specific you are, I realized that it was making my coaching calls smoother because I'm so used to speaking to the prompts to do my own work, that I would speak to people in a different way to simplify it for them. So that way, if we're not talking about high-level trauma healing and psychology, we can break it down to a third-grade level. They get results within 30 minutes, and they could take action, and then I can feed it back to AI and just love talking to it more to see, hey, it's thinking the way that I'm thinking, and I make sure to say, hey, make sure you don't do X, Y, Z. So with your prompts, I would challenge people to add an ending part to their prompt to say, do not include this or say that, and then you'll actually train it to sound like you more, and you can use those prompts to your advantage.
Yeah.
Building on what Derek said, I have a tech background. So I have been using machine learning for decades. Right. That's all this is, just putting a user interface on it that everybody can use. The biggest mistake that everybody makes is not showing what the end product of whatever they were trying to achieve there was. So for example, if you are trying to improve your coaching calls, then upload a coaching call after and say, this is based on everything that you told me, this is what I did. So then it can, and then you ask it, pick up on the subtle cues, pick up on my language, you know, what could I improve? And you start to give them the result, the report that you made or the presentation that you gave. And then it will start to see the tweaks that you made after it gave you the suggestion. Mm. So in the case of your YouTube video, take the editing notes back and give it back to it and say, thank you so much for your suggestions. This is what we decided to do.
Well, that's a great
Please
idea.
Please remember this for the future. And then when you come back and ask it again, it's going to take that into consideration because that's your style.
Yeah, because I want this to be a template, right? Mm-hmm. So the first one is a good one. So I want to get the first one as perfect as possible and have that be a template for everything going forward.
It's just like a child, you know? If you teach a kid how to do something and then they don't do it exactly right, like load the dishwasher, and you never correct them, and then every time you go in and you move the plates and bowls around because you know it's not actually going to get washed the way that things are stacked in there, that your AI tool is the same way.
Absolutely.
If you don't give it the minor corrections, it will never know.
I'll say, okay, do this, and it'll say, okay, and do you want me to do this? And I'll say, no, do Check. This. And I'll say, okay, but do you want me to do this? And it's like a kid saying, why? But why? But why? And it's like, I can't get it to give me the result till we've gone through five of its stupid questions.
Absolutely. But that's exactly what it is. I mean, you've got a three-year-old basically in front of you with a massive processing power.
Right.
So you have to treat it like a three-year-old.
You do.
And also starting a new conversation with it can help. I was deep into a flow one time and it's a business model and everything was going great. And then it would give me generic answers like, what just happened? Five layers before that, you were great with me. And I said, you know what? Let me just start a new chat. And I explained it better, and it made me more thorough with my explanation of the previous one. And I was like, this happened for a reason. I was pissed off for 20 minutes, and now I'm excited where I'm like, cool, let me tell my team this, and now we're taking action. Yeah. But it was because I was getting pissed off at ChatGPT.
Do you get in fights with it? I'm like, why aren't you doing it? But Richard had a good point earlier in the car when we were talking about if you do a really good prompt, like people that are teaching themselves and to do really good prompts, you might be able to protect that with intellectual property.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that I've begun to understand is that prompts can be a company's best intellectual property, right? Mm-hmm. And so ideally, you're going to create prompts for certain situations, and then you're going to save those someplace and so that every member of the team can use it when it's necessary. Well, there could be a good case for copyright protection on those prompts. Mm. And so, and that then becomes something that you can sell or market or not, or you can keep as a trade secret. If somebody were to leave the company and they were to take those prompts with them, you would have legal rights in those. Because it takes a long time to develop good ones that really, really work and that serve your needs. So there is an intellectual property angle to this. And I think businesses should take steps to make sure that those prompts are protected.
One thing I heard that was a little distressing, Melissa, I'm sure you'll agree with this. I don't think the men will get it. I was watching this webinar, the taping, the recording of it, of these guys talking about using AI and use cases in business. And the one guy said, well, even my wife uses it.
Wow.
She might want a new recipe or something, or learn how to clean the house. But I mean, I was just like, we women got some work to do, girl.
I mean, we are the masters of efficiency. Let's be honest. Like, women are the best multitaskers and efficiency makers on the planet. And so you can best believe that we also know how to use AI just as good as everybody else does. We're just not talking about it.
Yeah. We're just not talking about it. Mm-hmm. And the men are the ones doing all the presentations. And I respect the men. The men have wonderful ideas. Like we all, but the women do too, right?
Sure do.
And I'm not just using it for grocery lists.
Well, I create a syntax or a framework. So if you have a team, you can rinse and repeat it. So an example, I use Loom a lot, LOOM.com, where you can do video recording. And I'll record my screen. And then I used to just send it to a team and say, here, replicate this, and you'll get the same end result. And it worked, but I said, they need more. So then I would have the video, and I know a lot of people don't have the attention span, as you mentioned earlier, and they're not going to watch the full video. So I was like, I know he's lazy, so I'm going to send a PDF and say, you have the framework and the syntax plus the video. So if you don't get this done by Tuesday, that means you didn't try the PDF or the video. But having that, it inspired me to actually get that intellectual property to then rinse and repeat for others, where we say, hey, here's hundreds of clients that we've worked with that have done something similar. We got the result, whether that's cash flow, results, overcoming traumas, getting into better shape. You could follow this and we'll sell it to you. You can white label it. You can do whatever you want with it. But I love that you mentioned the copywriting portion of that.
Yeah, it's not something that I think people go to instantly, but and you may want to keep it as a trade secret. You wouldn't necessarily want to register a copyright because it would be hard to enforce. You'd have to find somebody infringing it, and then, but how would you know? But still, you have to see it as intellectual property. I think that's the first step.
Thank you, everybody. This was a great discussion. I know we're going to invite everybody back on the show at some point. I'd love to get everybody back in a year and see all the new ways they're using it, because it's all going to be totally different by then.
You have been listening to Real AI Use Cases, Business Owners Roundtable.